And there's no God like Jehovah. And those of us who know Christ as Savior, we have a responsibility because of our association with the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is what we're going to speak about today. It's nothing new. I'm not going to tell you anything that you've never heard before. So please pay attention to the Word of God. Let's pray. Oh God and Father, we thank you and praise you for the time that we have spent this morning in worship and praise. We thank you for the community hour, all those who have participated. Thank you for the praise team. We thank you, Lord, for the fact that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried and he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Because of Christ, we are here this morning. And we thank you that there's no God like him. We pray that you bless your word this morning as we look into some passages that are very known to us. We pray, oh God, that you'll speak to each heart, to my heart, and to everyone who will be listening. In Jesus' name. Amen. Our scripture reading would be from Matthew 28. Reading from verse 18 to 20. You can, when you find it, I'll start reading. Matthew 28, verse 18 to 20. And these are the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is before he departed. Some of the last things that he had said to his disciples. I'll start from verse 16 for connection. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Verse 18. Then Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Luke 24. We turn to Luke 24, verses 46 to 47. Luke 24, 46. Then he said to them, this is Jesus speaking, "Thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day." And this is a verse for us believers. "And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things." Acts chapter 1. So you see that the scriptures that we are reading is well known to us. Verse 8. "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." Now, these scriptures are telling us that The reason for the Lord coming into the world and dying on the cross is to let everyone know of that transaction. And it seems to tell us that this is what we should be doing, spreading the gospel, telling the good news to all nations. That's our commission from the Lord Jesus Christ. But today, in our world, there are so many distractions. What is really happening to our world is a question many are asking. As we listen and view the news at home and around the world, Jesus said that there'll be earthquakes, there'll be wars and rumors of wars before he comes. And as we look around us, around our planet, there's tremendous amount of disasters, fires in Australia. You have volcanic eruptions all over the world, especially in Hawaii, in the Hawaiian Islands. You have in the United States, we have flooding, we have fires, earthquakes in the Caribbean and different places. So we are concerned, believers, we are concerned, but we have the assurance that all authority in heaven and in earth is given to Christ. Our God is not worried or taken by surprise, for Jesus predicted that as in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. The opening statement in the Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. This fact is repeated in the New Testament in John chapter 1 and verse 3. It said, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Because it is God's word, he has sustained it. He also sustains it. In Colossians 1:16 and 17, we read, all things were created by him and for him, and by him all things consist or hold together. We are also told that he upholds all things by the word of his power in Hebrews 1 and 3. Besides creating and sustaining our world, our God is in control of it, and he will never surrender it. Its control to the God of this world, which is Satan. Neither will he be defeated in his own universe. This earth, with its billions of souls, is not at the mercy of blind faith. It is in the hands of the Almighty God. He has made it, he sustains it, he controls it, and most of all, he has a plan for this world. And we're going to look into that. Not only does God have a plan for his world, but he's also working out that plan. Speaking of Christ in Ephesians 1:11, it says, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who works all things after the counsel of his own will. This tells us that God causes all things to work in keeping with his plan. Also, in chapter 3 of Ephesians, verse 11, there's a similar expression. According to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ our Lord. Here we are assured not only that God has a plan and a purpose for the world, but this plan is an eternal plan. His plan has a twofold purpose: to bring glory to himself and the redemption of humanity. Christ's death is essential for mankind. God's only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, must suffer and die for the sins of the world. this was a vital part of God's eternal plan. Says Jesus of himself, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. This is Luke 24:46. So that's one of God's eternal purpose. The next point is world evangelism, as we read in our opening scriptures. Jesus pointed out to another vital part of his plan, and that plan says that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations. These are two fundamental parts of God's great plan, the atoning work on Calvary and the evangelization of the world by the church. Actually, there are three points to consider. The atoning death of Christ, which is 1 Corinthians 15:3-4. The evangelization of the world, as we read in Matthew and Luke. And finally, the return of Christ, which is mentioned in Acts 1 and 11, and in 1 Thessalonians 4:16. These parts of the plan of God are repeated in Scripture. Paul wrote, God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their righteousness unto them, but has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Therefore, please note, we are ambassadors for Christ. An ambassador represents his own sovereign country. He represents his country in a foreign land. Being ambassadors for Christ, we have the privilege to share the gospel, to persuade men and women, boys and girls, to be reconciled to God. Please note that we are ambassadors for Christ. The moment you become a Christian, the moment you're saved, you're an ambassador, you represent the Lord Jesus Christ. And wherever you go, in whatever station of life you find yourself, you have to represent the Savior. So that's one of our positions as believers. We represent the Lord Jesus Christ, and we are to take the gospel to our friends and neighbors. We read in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 6, that Christ gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. His redeeming work must be proclaimed to every tongue, people, tribe, and nation. Repentance and remission of sins must be preached in his name among all people. The Apostle James, speaking at the Jerusalem Council in Acts 15, says that Simon Peter has declared how God at first did visit the nations to take out of them a people for his name. And this is what is going on today in our world. This is how the church is being, the bride of Christ is being developed, because God is taking out from the nations a people for his name. This is God's plan and purpose, and this is what he's doing in our world. Through the spreading of the gospel and through the power of the Holy Spirit, the Lord is gathering out of all the nations a people for his name. The song that the redeemed will sing in heaven is recorded in Revelation chapter 5 and verse 9. And hear what it says. That song would be, you were slain and have redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every tribe, tongue, and people, and nation. Apart from Christ, people are lost. Luke 19:10 tells us that he came to seek and to save that which was lost. In chapter 15 of Luke, we have three parables given by our Lord Jesus Christ. teaching the fact that people are lost. The parable of the lost sheep. He shows that men without him are like sheep astray from the shepherd and the fold. In the parable of the lost coin, he teaches about the lost condition of mankind. Then we have the parable of the lost son. All this is in Luke chapter 15. The young man who went into a far country from his father's presence, he left home and became a victim of sin. The youth was lost and perishing with hunger. The Bible says he came to himself. He went back home. Noticed that when he was a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion on him, ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And his father said, "Let us eat and be merry, for this my son was dead and is alive again and was lost and is found." Likewise, there's rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents. In these three parables, it ends by saying, likewise, there's rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents. And saints, we should be conscious of this. We need to have a compassion for the lost, a conviction that people need to know Christ as Lord and Savior. The Bible tells us that Jesus had compassion on the multitude. And so we should have compassion on the lost, realizing that when we witness and share the gospel with anyone, there's rejoicing in heaven over one sinner that repents. In the story of the lost son, we notice the father saw him a long way off. It tells us that the father was looking out for his son every day. And he welcomed him. This is how God welcomes the sinner. He's waiting. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And we as believers, we are obligated to share the gospel because we belong to Christ. We are ambassadors for him. This is our station in life where Christ is concerned. We represent him in this world. He's not here. We are here. We are the light. We are the one to take the gospel to everyone around us. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of light." John 8:12. This illustrates a vital truth. All mankind is totally in spiritual darkness until the light of Christ comes to them. Their state of being lost in spiritual darkness and being separated from God will become an eternal reality unless they know the Savior or Lord Jesus Christ. And so it is that our world is in total darkness, spiritual darkness. And people are, today, their passion is to get rich, to live the American dream, to have money, to be well educated, to be respected in society, not realizing that they have a responsibility to God. Jesus said, "What shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and lose his soul?" Now, I was reading this week, and many of you may have heard, today, the Green Bay Packers, which is a football team, I'm not a football fan, so, but I listen to what's going on. The Green Bay Packers quarterback, his name is Aaron Rodgers. He said in an interview, "I do not know how you can believe in a God who wants to condemn most of the planet to a fiery hell." He attended church and Sunday school as a youngster, but in college, he started questioning the God of the Bible. He said all religions who have a hell have it to scare people to follow them. And the news said that he said many other things about Christianity, but he concluded he's looking forward to meet the Dalai Lama, the Buddhist monk, who do not know his left hand from his right. The Dalai Lama, I'll give you a little history of him. He spent 10 years in seclusion. He didn't speak to a human being for 10 years, meditating. And when the day that he came out of hiding, out of his meditation, the news media from around the world surrounded him, and they wanted to know what revelation he got. He said, I have nothing to say. And he didn't say a word. He just walked away and left them standing there. But this young man, Aaron Rodgers, keep him in your prayers. There are a lot of Christians in the football teams that minister to their colleagues. Pray for him. He said he's looking forward to meet the Dalai Lama, who may have the answer maybe to his confusion. Every generation needs to hear the gospel. This is what I want to bring home to you. Every generation needs the gospel. Even baby boomers, the millennial generation, Generation X, need the gospel. I was shocked when I read, we now have a new generation Z. The experts have described them as the most loneliest generation. Although they have social media connection, their problem is anxiety and depression. And this is what is around us today. All these type of young people, the young generation, they need the gospel. For the psalmist wrote, one generation shall praise your good works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. Psalm 145:4. For every generation, Jesus is the answer. And this is what is amazing. There's one Savior for mankind, regardless of the millions of religions you have around the world, and atheists. People call themselves atheists. There's no atheists. The fact that they say they don't believe in God doesn't mean anything. God has written eternity in the hearts of man, and you cannot escape that. So for us as believers, we've got to take this into consideration. Simeon in the temple, when Jesus was brought to be blessed, he took Jesus in his arms and he said, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. Believers are sent on the same divine mission, carrying the light of Christ to all the world. There's much spiritual darkness in our world today. There are still many countries where darkness reigns, where Satan's kingdom of darkness is supreme, even right here in America, long blessed with the light of the gospel and the Bible. There's still spiritual darkness, and it seems to be getting worse. Daily, it's crime. People are killing their families these days. This is the new thing, wiping out families. Women killing their children, men killing their wives and children. And it's rampant. Spiritual darkness is all around us. But there's good news that in spite of that, God is saving souls. I read in a magazine recently, The Voice of the Martyrs. It says that most, the country that is having the most spiritual awakening, where people are being saved more than any country in the world, is Iran. I was shocked. But it's a fact. there are so many young people becoming Christians in Iran that the government is putting a lot of them in jail. And some of them, people are not preaching to them. They're finding Christians to find out how to become a Christian. And some of them are getting saved through dreams. You'd be surprised to hear some of the testimonies. One person said that Jesus appeared to them. And they cry out to him for help, and he appeared to them and forgive their sin. So that the Lord is building his church, is in spite of our shortcomings and our reluctance to share the good news, the Lord is building his church. As children of God, we need to heed the words of the Lord. We must take the light of Christ to our communities, to our neighborhoods. What is our vision for this neighborhood for 2020? Brethren, do not give the gospel second place. We are commissioned, we are commanded to share the good news. And we should do everything to promote the gospel, to emphasize the gospel. And you know why? The parable said that the shepherd left the 99 and went to the one that is lost. You know why? The 99 do not need repentance. That is teaching us something. Let us stop focusing on ourselves and focus on the lost, because Christ is coming. The signs are around us. The Lord Jesus will soon come, and may he find us leading others to Christ. After his resurrection, Jesus said to his disciples, "As my Father has sent me, so send I you." He spoke this to his disciples, but he's speaking to us. His disciples are not here anymore. We are here. As God has sent him, he is sending us. This is the mission of the church. This is a Christian divine mission. It is the mission of missionaries. The declaration indicates whatever was required of Jesus in coming to save lost humanity is required of us who are his followers. His compassion for the lost, his love for all mankind should be our compassion, should be our goal. Jesus said, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work." What Jesus is saying to us as a church and as individuals, "As I was obedient and subject to the plan of my Father, so I now send you to do my will into the world to proclaim repentance and remission of sins." Note that all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. "Go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." The Great Commission is not a matter of personal choice, but it's a command. We are to be engaged in personal witnessing. Evangelization of our cities, our state, our country, preaching the gospel in season and out of season to every person in all the world. The question each Christian must face: are we obeying this mandate as Christ did? It's a question each of us must ask ourselves: are we obeying this? When last have we witness to someone, not in church, but outside of the church? When last have you tell someone about Jesus? You are at a doctor's office and someone is sitting near to you, and in conversation, have you ever shared Christ with them? In the supermarket, in the bank, at school, on the street. Let us be conscious of the fact that who we are ambassadors. You're not just a Christian. You have been promoted to represent the Lord Jesus Christ, to share the good news with them, with all those who you come in contact with. In the early chapters of Acts, we read, the disciples were all filled with the Holy Spirit and preached the gospel to people everywhere. Nothing could stop these new believers. Threats, imprisonment, suffering, persecution. Their enemies were confounded. Communities were changed. Churches were established. And we read that the word of God grew and multiplied. The Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. It was said of those early Christians, they turned their world upside down. Idols and pagan relics publicly burned in their cities. These saints were aware of the power of God in their lives, and they allowed the Holy Spirit to use them mightily. This is what is needed among us today. This is what the church needs. A new understanding of God's plan. We need a new conviction of man's need. We need to show compassion, concern, and love for the lost. Just as Christ loved us and demonstrated that love by sacrificing himself, we should love the lost as well. The down and outers, don't avoid the down and outers. I know sometimes the way people look and the way people smell, we move away from them. A lot of times they need us. I went to buy some gas and I saw a man. He looks terrible. Big guy. He sits by the door to go into the gas station. And the Lord spoke to me when I saw him. I took out a tract and a gift. And I went to him. I said, "Hi, sir, how are you doing?" He said, "Okay, sir." He has a very coarse voice. But he took the tract. So I said, "You promised me you're going to read this. Jesus loves you. And if you read this, you will get to know him." I said, "Thank you. I promise you I'm going to read it." And everybody else just... But he looks frightful. He looks scary, put it that way. But I'm glad I did. I obeyed the voice of the Lord. And when I came out to get gas, he went away. He just got up and went, maybe to the store around the corner. But that teach me something. I say, you know, the people who are looking this way, a lot of people avoid them. And being a Christian, maybe I shouldn't. And I think that we should do that as well. So we need to be like the New Testament saints, to be active in spreading the gospel, in telling others about the Lord Jesus Christ. Everywhere the apostles went, they call upon the audience to face their sins, to face their helplessness, to face Christ as the only Savior, the one who alone can provide forgiveness of sins. Repentance is turning to God from sin for forgiveness and cleansing. If you're here this morning in our audience and you do not know Christ as Savior, I'll urge you to consider him, because Christ died for your sins according to the scriptures. Don't be ashamed to own him as your Lord. to ask him to come into your heart and life. Because this is the greatest decision anyone can make, to come to know Christ as Lord and Savior. The Bible says, God is not willing that any should perish. Christ Jesus came into the world to save you. Why not ask him to forgive you? If you need to know Christ as your Savior, I will urge you at this moment to call upon him while he is near, so that he can offer you his forgiveness and his cleansing and make you a child of his. You can say this prayer: I know that I'm a sinner, dear Lord, and need your forgiveness. I believe that Christ died in my place, paying the penalty for my sin. I'm willing to turn from my sin and cleanse me in your precious blood. I now invite you into my heart and life. I'm willing to follow and obey you as the Lord of my life. If you sincerely pray this prayer, you can call upon the name of the Lord. The Lord says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The result of that is that there will be rejoicing in heaven because you repented and come to know Christ as Savior. We trust that what was said will energize us as believers to spread the gospel, to be concerned about those around us who do not know Christ, relatives or friends or neighbors or nation. Pray for men and women to be saved. This should be our daily prayer as we think about our nation. Our nation, as we speak, is divided. It's confused. There's lawlessness. Yesterday you saw where the people jump in the turnstile, challenging the police. It's around the nation, and there's a reason for that. Christ is coming, and things are getting worse and worse. But we have hope in Christ, and we look forward to that time when he would come and take us to be with himself. In the meantime, we are here to share the good news, to tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that you'll make him your choice today as we close this meeting. Father in heaven, we thank you. We praise you and thank you for who you are. We thank you for a Savior who identified himself with mankind. We are grateful to know that he came into our world, became a man, went to the cross in obedience to your will, paid a price for sin, so that men who are lost can come to know Christ as Savior. We thank you for the hope that we have in him. We look forward to that time when he will return, as he promised to take us to be with himself. So we rejoice this morning, knowing that we have one who cares for us, who loves our world, and is willing to save to the uttermost all those who would come to God through him. And so we give you thanks. Bless this day. In Jesus' name.